Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing!
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No.
I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the daggum hook.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget. Live, not so live, from the LBL Bar and Grill, Bar and Bunker, beautiful Middle Tennessee. And welcome, you bunch of dang low-lifers. If you are new to the program, you are new, and you're wondering, why is this man calling me a low-lifer? Well, that is what the listeners of this fine program call themselves weekly, the low-lifers. So welcome. And that is a song written by me, sung by me, called Biloxi Blues, which just so happens to be the walk-up music for my dude Kriegs, Kobe Krieger, leading the Bassmaster Elite Series after 2 days. And this is the podcast for Monday, March the 22nd. Of course, we're recording on Sundays because that's what we do. That's what we do to get it to you on a Monday morning. And the Bassmasters is supposed to be over with down in Florence, Alabama, but it is miscombobulated. And now has 2 more days to go, but Kobe Krieger is on top, and he's just feeling it, walking out to that Biloxi Blues on the home pond. Pretty impressive seeing what those guys are doing down there on the Tennessee River, dealing with some adverse conditions. But been dealing with some adverse conditions myself, guys. Been a pretty cool last few days. I got to go down to Smith Lake with the crew for a few days of beating my head against a flooded rock down there. Spring break with the kids. We left out on Thursday afternoon late. Fish Friday, Saturday. A little bit this morning. I'm a little windburnt. I'm a little sunburnt. And I don't know. Smith Lake came up 7 feet, I think. Almost 7 feet in like 24 hours. Crazy. Place like a bathtub. It always does that after a big rain. But Got to run around down there with Hudson in the boat mainly. And so cool. I gotta brag. I gotta have a proud dad moment to open LBO. And I tried to get him to come on the podcast this week, but he's outside playing wiffle ball, and I don't blame him because we've been fishing. But dude is coming into his own at 13. It's just like his own angler. He's making decisions on his own. But the coolest thing that I gotta brag. House we were staying at was about a mile away. It's about a mile away from the closest boat ramp. And Thursday, of course, I let him drive all the time, and he runs a trolling motor a lot now, and really starting to get more and more comfortable with the boat. And I said, "Hey, man, I'll put you in And, you know, do you feel comfortable driving the boat to the house? So I parked the truck and we got in and we went and found the house. No turns, just on the main lake there, not far from the ramp. And I said, do you feel comfortable doing this? So he's like, yeah, well, let me drive you back and then I'll come back. So he drove us down, lets me out. And man, I got to be honest, like, short of letting him out at kindergarten and Ryder, like their first days, pulling out of a parking lot and watching him in a Wrapped Express go around the corner by himself is pretty heavy. Not gonna lie. But man, he took off. He did great. He beat us there by a couple minutes and was waiting there, smiling ear to ear. Such a cool moment, and for me and for him, you know. And he, you know, he's 13. I'm not cool anymore, so doesn't mean as much when dad brags on you. But man, it was just, I was beaming and was so excited to see him excited. But yeah, we had an awesome weekend. Caught some spotted bass. Kind of scouting around a little bit for that Bassmaster Open, but lots got to change. Lots got to change down there. The water's going to come flying out of there. Have a feeling. This week, Smith Lake, of course, very residential, so they're not going to leave the water up very long. But school, we were coming home from Smith. My dad and my brother were sending us pictures from Wilson Lake, and just so happens we have to go right by there. Next lake up from Pickwick on the Tennessee River, and didn't have long because I got was going to record a podcast this afternoon, and had a guest lined up, and so Hudson's like, Dad, can we please stop? Man, we've been going hard for like 4 days almost. I'm like, yeah, we can. So we pull in there and catch a couple. I caught a 6-pounder, boat flipped that sucker out on a sea deck, and the boys lost their mind. It was cool. So they couldn't get enough, and I'm very grateful for it. So very, 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 very proud dad, to say the least. So I had to share that with all you lowlifers. All that y'all are, they're, you know, fish with your kids, y'all understand. Y'all get it. If you don't have kids yet, you will understand it when you do. Because he's so far ahead of where I was at that age. And it's just so cool to see. And he just genuinely loves it and thanks me for taking him fishing. And it's pretty awesome, man. It's pretty stinking awesome. So grateful. I'm also grateful for the fine sponsors that we work with here on Low Budget Live. Starting things off right here with the oldest, the OGs, if you will, on LBL, the fine folks from StarTron and StarBright down out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. StarTron kicking ethanol in the teeth for years and years and years and years. You don't want ethanol in your gas tank. You don't want it in your weed eater. You don't want it in your affecting your outboard. You don't want it in your daggum pickup truck. So get you a blue bottle like this. Shake it up good. I actually don't think that's in the directions, but I do that on the show. So you are allowed to shake your StarTron. Shake it up. Little dab will do you right there in the tank. Kick ethanol in the teeth. Get it out of there. Weed eater, pressure washer. Ugh, pressure washer. I can barely say that. I can barely say that because I hate it so much. But I just know that time is coming, right? It's springtime and everybody gets those honey-do lists. And I know that's going to be on mine. And I'm just not looking forward to that. But weed eater, chainsaw, your side-by-side, whatever the case may be. Little dab will do you. Get you some StarTron. Kick ethanol in the teeth. Sims fishing products. We absolutely wore out some Sims toboggans, gloves, the freaking rain suit this weekend. Golly, man, it's been it was just cold. It was cold. Got cold in North Alabama and had been beautiful. Of course, I made some Instagram stories, but oh hey, let's go on spring break. And then, of course, it just. Weather just took a dive. We went from warm to tornadoes to flooding to cold. And that is typically kind of how it goes in March and April around southern Tennessee and North Alabama. But we definitely broke out some Sims goodness this weekend. And this week I got to wear shorts. And earlier in the week, shorts and dang, freaking hooded sun shirts and just solar flexing on them. But unfortunately, this weekend been bundled up, and hopefully it'll get warm before that Smith Lake Bassmaster Open, because I want it to be in the 80s. And no more cold mornings, damn it. Let's go. Let's get away from that. So I'm here to remind all of you lowlifers that you get one life. Fish it well. Go check out the Sims website. I promise you there's something for everybody on there, some really great gear. Pro Guide batteries. I have once again, spent about 3 or 4 days standing on those things. And I'll tell you one that is something I don't believe in, something I don't do, but I did not charge my batteries every night at Smith. And the reason being was there was no electrical outlet on the dock. I left my boat in the water, left the X21 tied up down there. And I actually backed way up close to the house one day and power pulled down to charge during the day one day. But I didn't. And I cannot run these batteries dead. I'm also running that power pole charge this year. But really, really loving those ProGuide AGMs. And they got some special goods coming your way very soon. But if you would like to get you some AGM batteries from the fine folks at ProGuide, use LBL10 at checkout for a discount. And last but not least, right here, love it more every day. The official boat of Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus, the Express X21 Pro. Cannot say enough about it, y'all. Cannot say enough about it. I know I'm a salesman. I know everybody's like, oh, you're sponsored. I promise you, without a shadow of a doubt, I've never owned a bass boat I love more. Ever. I love everything about this boat. Can't find it. Truly, when you sit down and think, well, are there negative? Like, I can't find a negative. For me, for the way I fish, man, it's a really, 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 really awesome, awesome boat. And, you know, manufactured by awesome people. Awesome people. And I can't wait to put it in even more situations. But wind and rough and freaking shallow and deep and in and out of boat docks and boat flipping fish on sea deck and running a dang Yamaha, 70 miles an hour, great fuel economy, like with the weight of the boat and everything, man, whole shot is insane. But if you're in the market for a boat, go check out the fine folks from Express, that X21, X19, I promise you. They got a lot more models than that. Those are the two bass boats that are like rocket ships that I think that you would definitely enjoy. And let them know that I sent you. Express boats, they've been building excitement since 1966. All right, moving on. Speaking of Express excitement, Bill Lowen. I kicked off the show by talking about Krieger, but I got to talk about Bill Lowen. Bill sneaking up on Mr. Krieger after day two. Of course, at the Bassmaster Elite Series, Florence, Alabama. And, you know, it's one of those deals, guys. This tournament is not going like I thought it would, but that is typically, I think I've said on here multiple times, depending on the water, this tournament. They're cracking on them, but it is not the event I thought it would be. They're not surprising me where they're catching them, how they're catching them, being a local. But you know, I was down there last Monday. Water was like 6 feet, 7 feet low. Of course, flooding. The water comes up. The current comes with it. And lots of things have changed. So, Kobe Krieger leading it with some mixed bags. Freaking beautiful fish. Been fun watching it all play out on FS1. And I've been watching as much of it as I can. Because it's the home pond. And you got to. Home crowd represent down there. But, Lowen, could this be it? Could he get his first win? His weights got better. Kobe's went down. Of course, you know, you guys are going to be listening to this on day three, and they're going to have a championship Tuesday this week. So definitely lots of interesting scenarios. The tail race fishing is really, it's legendary, man. I grew up doing it. I love fishing current. It's really cool to see it getting showcased. Some of the biggest community, you know, the locals around here are not surprised by what's going on up there, but man, these guys are putting it on the line, and it's really cool. It's been fun to watch. Something that wasn't cool to watch, I wanted to bring up. It's kind of shocking in this day and age to me. And yesterday I got to watch a good bit and watch Chris Saldane up there in the horseshoe area below the floodgates. Just, you know, he really struggled at times, caught him at times. And that's just the nature of that area. Was primarily by himself. There were a few boats around. But this morning he goes up there. In the morning of day two, and he can't even cast because there are guys in his way that are in the event, and it's really surprising. I was looking at the photo gallery, and I'm not going to just call everybody out. Zaldane, y'all can go look at the photo galleries if you want to, but I don't know, man. You see where a dude catches 21 pounds. I just don't get that in 2021, when there are live cameras, that people still think that's a good idea just to go snipe on somebody. I don't know. You could tell Chris was frustrated early this morning. He ended up catching enough to be in the top 10. But just you hate to see that, because a guy sticks it out on day one when other people don't, and then other people struggle, and then there they come. I don't know. I was actually texting with a friend of mine earlier today, like, is there a rule that can be written? It's an unwritten rule. Like, you shouldn't do it. You're a dick if you do it. Like, if you go in where a dude's in the top five, like, and you didn't catch him, you suck. Like, that's just kind of bottom line. If you didn't catch him there day one, just go on. Find your own deal. That's always kind of been the unwritten rule. But should there be a written rule? Y'all comment. If you're watching on YouTube, comment. Because it would be a hard one to police. And if you catch them, you could use it to an advantage that somebody couldn't come in. You know, there's been several variations over the years. You can't get within 50 yards. You can't get within 50 yards if somebody's anchored with the trolling motor up. Lots of different rules over time. But, you know, what? I don't know. I don't know how nobody owns the water. Right? We see it with locals too. We saw it, John Sokup down at Eufaula. Locals came in, saw him catching them, came in on him. Just pirates, Jack Sparrows all around. But, you know, what do you think? What do the lowlifers think? I wish there was some kind of rule. I don't know. You know, obviously it could negatively affect, say, number one, and this is just throwing out dream scenarios, but number one and number two sitting side by side. If there's something written that you can't go near a leader, or you can't, I don't know. I'm just saying it gets really old, and it happens at all levels of tournament fishing, and it happens off camera way more than it does on camera, right? Any of y'all listen to this at fish tournaments, and if you're listening, most likely you do or keep up with it. This happens all the time. It happens too much. And there are scavengers everywhere. But, you know, I fish a lot where Zaldane was at. And it was cool seeing him figure it out. And Krieger's up there as well, but not, you know, in Zaldane's, you know, general vicinity. But, I mean, dude, Zaldane got to his first area. He could not cast where he was casting yesterday because there were, like, two other elite boats there. Like, no. I don't know. And one of the dudes made the cut, and he's like, made some adjustments today on social media. He's like, did you make adjustments? It looked like you did on FS1. It looked like you made a really key adjustment. I don't know, man. It's interesting to see. No shame in some people's game, I guess, to say the least. All right, we got a Cox Watch. Cox Watch. Cox and cornrows. Not even, I'm going to be honest with you, not even sure who did it. I know Mercer will take credit for it, but it looked like his daughter might have done it. I want to take a look at something here real fast. But on Cox Watch, this one's interesting. So John, obviously any schedule hiccups are going to throw John for a freaking loop. Day one at Pickwick, he struggled. One fish, that is really rare. John bounced back today with five that weighed 13.5. Just look that up. Look at that right here. But so he ended the tournament in 79th place. Even had John made the cut, he was going to have to leave because he has to compete at Sam Rayburn tomorrow in the BPT. Yeah, let that soak in. This is what a schedule hiccup can do to John's year. He's fishing every bass tournament except for MPFL, which we pointed out last week. There's another John Cox still going on. There's still two John Coxes this week. I know. But John is fishing everything but MPFL. And now he is driving through the night tonight, long freaking ways. Don't even really know how he's going to do it. But he's going to roll up at Big Sam tomorrow and fish day two, Group B, for Bass Pro Tour. If you don't think that's commitment, you're wrong. I'll tell you another one about John real quick. Uncharacteristic, you know, bad finish for John. Doesn't do that often. One fish first day. When they canceled, John staying with a dear friend of mine, David Allen, when they canceled, John was like, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Oh, I'm going to go to Neely Henry because I've never seen it. John left Florence, drove 2.5 hours to practice Neely Henry because he'd never seen it. Like, this dude is next level, guys. Next freaking level. So it'll be interesting to see how Cuckswatch does out there at Sam Rayburn. Big John, Cornrow John. BPT kicked off at Big Sam. And very weird, man. 10 pounds, four fish for 10 pounds. Wesley Strader was in 20th with that. That is shocking, honestly. Even though Rayburn's getting the crap kicked out of it right now. Maybe it's the weather. I don't know. Maybe it'll get, I'm sure it'll get better. But Spencer Shuffield led day one Group A. He's one of those few invitees from the Big Five FLW Tour, RIP FLW, that just get to fish one event. So from the, I think it's from the title event. I'm still kind of confused, but no shocker to see Spencer Shuffield leading anything at this point. He's a dude that fished, really when I first started fishing, co-anglers fishing, of course, the son of the great Ron Shuffield from Bassmaster and FLW fame, but left, you know, kind of would catch him a little bit, but then left the tour. Came back, and dude, he's been hotter than a firecracker, and this guy is going to be one to watch for a long time to come. I have a feeling he's making a lot of noise, is going to continue to. But he's leading it. Of course, Dustin Connell right there with him. Shocker. Some dudes, there's three dudes behind him. Some guy named, last name Van Dam, Defoe, and Evers. Edwin Evers Evers. Are behind him. So no pressure, Spencer. It's going to be interesting. I talked to Dudley. He said it was actually decent in practice. So I think Double D goes out tomorrow. So I'm going to be interested to see how that shakes out. But WTF, Rayburn, get your weights up. Jeez, Pickwick's making you look stupid right now, Big Sam Rayburn. All right. It was a mouthful. It was a lot. So I'm going to have a guy on today that I just had on not long ago, but I really felt like I owed it to him to be on LBL and tell his story from his historic win at Lake Eufaula in the National Professional Fishing League. This guy absolutely blew my mind the first time I ever talked to him on the phone. I was like, he's dialed. Like, he is so freaking dialed. And then to watch it play out, I got to watch, obviously, all 3 days of live coverage, commentating that event, and just watching him practice what he preaches. Incredible. Incredible. And then, you know, seeing him overcome adversity on the last day to come back and get a victory. This dude's going to be a household name before 2021's over. I promise you, you're going to not hear, you're going to hear me say, John, hook up, soak up. Way too many times for your ears this year. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me via Zoom, John Hookup Soakup. From the side of the road on his way to Texas, John.
Well, my wife found me.
Is it really? On the side of the road?
That's pretty much. That's what she'll tell.
You know, John, I've never met your wife, but I've met you, and I kind of believe that. For sure, buddy. So you were just telling me you're at a Dairy Queen, just having a celebratory shake still.
I'm still celebrating. I'm still, you know, no alcohol for me. It's just all about the sugar, you know. Yeah. I got myself 1 week of sugar celebration, and then it's probably back to no sugar.
So before we get into anything fishing, what's the go-to John Hookup Soakup milkshake? What's the go-to?
So I'm going to tell you, I got the strawberry banana. That's been me since I was a kid. Okay. But I will tell you that I celebrated in an odd way the night driving home after the win. I stopped at this gas station. I was standing in line, you know, the 6 foot apart thing. And I looked down next to the candy bars, and I hadn't had one forever, but I saw my late father's favorite candy bar, which was a Butterfinger. And, you know, me and dad celebrated ate that Butterfinger on the way home.
That's awesome, man. That gave me chills, cool, man. That's awesome, dude. So I know he would have been proud, man, to win not only at the professional level, but to win an inaugural event.
Oh yeah, it's in the record books now, man. It's stamped. It's there.
Yeah, they can't take it away from you, and I don't think anybody's going to take that trophy away. The dang thing is large and in charge. I saw you post a real cool picture from the bass tank. All you Oklahoma boys with your trophies. Y'all had a pretty good second week of March there.
Yeah, man. The bass tank team. Zeke Anderson, who's our sales rep, who's my crappie tournament partner, and Kyle Cordiana, who is a bass tank guy. We all went to Union High School together. We actually started a fishing club our junior year in high school. And now, obviously, we work at the bass tank, and Kyle's one of our pro staffers. The same week, the same day, you know, I won the NPFL. Zeke won a crappie masters, it's a national crappie tour. But he didn't just win it. He set the record high two-day weight, him and his partner Dylan Hackler, so that may never be beaten. It's pretty much they had 42 or 3 pounds. They had 3.06 pound average for crappie. It's like catching 10 pound average in bass. That's what that
Holy
was. That's what
cow.
They did. Yeah, and then Kyle, his highest finish that he's ever had in the MLF. He got fourth place at Smith Lake. So I called him all. I mean, I called Kyle. I said, "Hey, man, you got to do it." It's goofy. Grab your jersey, grab your trophy. And we met at Mazio's, and I carry that big old NPFL trophy in, and we stood in line and ordered the lady at Mazio's, not impressed with the trophies, by the way. She was kind of like, okay. But there was some guys there that were like, okay, you can't just come in touting trophies, wearing jerseys in the middle of the week and not tell us what the heck's going on. We told them what was going on, you know, about having a connection all the way back from high school days.
That's awesome.
And in Oklahoma, you know, half the crowd was fishing fans. So they were asking us, you know,
My dad, when I was a kid, he used to have a thing. We would wear our jerseys everywhere, right? When we first got jerseys, we thought it was so cool. We'd be like leaving a Fishers of Men tournament, walking into a McDonald's wearing a old embroidered jersey. And my dad used to say, they think we're here to change out the Coke machines. That was always my dad's line. He's like, yeah, we're just here to change the Coke machines, because jerseys weren't a thing then. You know, we were ahead of the curve. We should not have had them on,
no
but
patches?
We did. We had patches. Yeah, we had patches, but I had some embroidering, man. It was before all this dye sublimation stuff, you know, all the dye sub. So, dude, you're on your way to Sam Rayburn. What's going on down there? I know BPT's down there. Are you fixing to go down there and just jump in that thing, see if they'll let you in?
Yeah, I'm gonna follow them around I'm gonna harass them until they invite me.
Yeah.
No. So I jumped into an ABA series. ABA decided to do a solo series this year, and it's a boater only deal, and it's just like a $600 entry fee, $20,000 to winner. But you know, I want to stay active in between the NPFL schedules, and this thing fit perfect. The first event was on Toledo, like 2 or 3 weeks before our event on Eufaula.
You finished what, second or third there?
I finished fifth or fourth.
Fourth.
Yeah,
top five, though.
Yeah.
Top five.
Yeah, top five for sure, which was a good deal. I'd never been to Toledo. Well, I'd been to Toledo one time before. I actually felt like it was a continuation from what I found at Toledo Bend into Eufaula. I used the same skill sets. I used the same everything.
Interesting.
And honestly, I thought this one down here on Rayburn, and between now and the – right at Patman, you know, they're in the same region of the state of Texas. And I know it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks early, but it's going to give me a little bit of taste test to just stay with the fish, to know what's going on with the spawn and stay fishing, stay competitive, stay active. So that's what I'm doing right now.
That's awesome, dude. Well, what's the most surprising thing that's happened to you since winning the inaugural NPFL event? Have you had any?
It's easy. Easy.
Okay.
I got a phone call. I got a phone call on Monday or Tuesday. And I guess I'd made the joke when I was on live, and I've done it several times. So just kind of one of my things. When you find one works, you got to keep rolling with it. You know what I mean? So I made the joke about being a dual sport athlete because I fish crappie and bass.
Okay.
And so I got this phone call, and this deep voice said, "I heard you said you was the best dual sport athlete And I thought to myself, this is Bo Jackson.
No
and way. And I said, well, you know, Clay's got a relationship with Bo. He's friends with Bo, Clay from Express. And I said, I didn't say I was the best. I said I was the greatest dual sport athlete.
Yeah.
And I said, you ought to know because Bo knows everything.
Bo knows.
And he said, I'm going to save you from a 3 a.m. A big man showing up with a baseball bat at 3 a.m. I'm going to let you take me fishing. So quasi-scheduled. Yeah. So that's the coolest thing.
Come on, man. Clay coming through, man.
Yeah.
I want to have Bo on the podcast. I'm working on that. But that dude, how crazy. That's man. I'm speechless. That's hard for me. Yeah. For Bo to say that's cool, dude. Talk about being that dual threat, that going from the crappie world, you're a live scope guy, man. But there was one of your buddies in this thing too, Kevin Rogers, who's right there in that same wheelhouse too. Do you think that transfers over to the bass world?
Well, it does. They transfer back and forth. And so, you know, I'm originally a bass guy. I started fishing when I was young. First thing I fished for was crappie. So, I mean, I've had experience with crappie, but when I went and did the tour on the crappie side of things, it was a lot of my bass skills that were transferring to crappie. And, you know, I had to adjust a little bit. And I 100% feel like there's a correlation between being able to understand the bass and the crappie, you know, a predator and a prey. Rick Klun, you've heard him say, you know, study the mouse, not the owl, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. And it's one of those things, you know, it's 100%. I've learned over the years when I'm crappie fishing that a good day of bass fishing is a bad day to be crappie fishing, and a good day of crappie fishing is a bad day to be bass fishing. It's really funny how you'll go into a pocket and all the bass will be up and the crappie are gone. They're hiding. And then you pull in there on another day, maybe high bluebird, sunny, calm conditions, and there's crappie. They're everywhere. They're floating everywhere and you catch it and there's no bass to be found. And so you'll learn the correlation between watching the environment and how they're behaving. I may not see a bunch of bass, but if I see crappie and I see the way they're behaving, it can tell me, it can clue me into what the bass are doing and how they're behaving.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, so you follow brush piles. I think it was day two or day one. I was whacking the crappie. I don't know if you got.
I saw it.
And it told me, you know, hey man, these crappie here aren't afraid, you know, like they should be. Some bass. So I knew the bass weren't as up high as you know, and it was telling me that by the way the crappie were feeding on that. But.
So what kind of adjustment do you make when you see that? Is that when you pick up the shaky head more than the jerk bait in that situation?
That's when I did. So that was day one. I did pick up the shaky head on that specific spot and had caught a five with that shaky head in there.
So. I remember that 5-pounder well, man. That woke me and Dudley up. It woke us up, man. I think watching you and Dudley and I were looking, of course they couldn't see us on camera when they're showing you guys, and he and I are just shaking our head looking, and you're like, oh, like when you hook the first double, you're like, oh, here comes another one. And you just let it like have line. And then but dude, you've got confidence in live scope like nobody I've ever seen. I mean, there are a lot of guys that are really, really good with it, right? Like we've seen Patrick Walters really get dialed in with it on the elites, but you take it to the next level. And I've got to ask, how many orders for live scope did the Bass Tank get after MPFL Live? Because I feel like they're back ordered anyways. My dad's been trying to get one for like months now. He's mad at me. He's like,
we have over 200 in stock. So if you know anybody that thinks they're back ordered, they need to go to thebasstank.com right now and throw it in. We keep heavy stock. We do it because we believe in it and we know it's the real deal. And we built our business around it. And not only do we build our business around it, but we pioneered techniques and you know, we go on the trail and put our money where our mouth is.
No doubt. And
so, you know, we love to bring, we call it catching, not fishing. That's what we've coined that from the beginning with the live scope. It's a sense, man. It's not the magic thing that you're just going to buy, put on your boat, and you're all of a sudden going to become, you know, Patrick Walters. But it's an added sense that you don't have. That you need it to compete at the highest level, you know? So I use my down and my side imaging just as much as I use my live scope. It's just during the tournament time when I'm live, you see me use my live scope because that's kind of my final sense to get. But I used in graphing my mapping, my down and my side and my 2D just as much as live scope. It was just as important for practice to find and locate those fish. So it's the same, you know, tools that we've used for the last 10 years.
So for the folks at home, you're hearing so much about live scope, but when you're actually idling around finding brush piles, like at Eufaula, when you find one on 2D, on side, on down view, do you then jump up on the trolling motor and look at it with live scope, or do you wait and come back later? What's your process in that? Because I find myself anymore using live scope probably way too much. Like I just ride around looking on the trolling motor a ton, you know, just because I love it. I'm obsessed with it. Especially after watching, 21 hours of John Hookup Soakup coverage. I'm like, oh, well, I've been obsessed with it since day one. It's just a lot of fun. But is that something you do, or do you wait till game time to do that?
No, it's a little bit of both. It depends on how tuned in I'm already in on them. In practice, the first brush pile I found that had fish in it was probably 30 minutes into practice. So when I found that brush pile, honestly, it was sitting just like I knew it should have been. It was really close to the bank. The spot, I mean, literally by the end of the tournament, there was beds. I could sit on the brush pile and see beds at the same time. And so, you know, I was looking for that. And, you know, there was, initially I was looking for big environments, you know, that would house a lot of fish. And so that was easy to find. Once I found that, you know, I would go and I'd mark for about 30 minutes to an hour within probably a mile section. And then I would just sit, I set little icons that tell me different things. And then I go back, then I would go back and I would run those troll motor down, drop them. And, you know, I might only drop and look at 10 seconds and go. And then I would change the icon based on what I saw fish wise. I might have, you know, some preconceived notions of what I was going to see. And then when I saw it for sure. So then I would go back, and after a while I'd end up editing my icons and going back and like these that I thought were so special, they were like second or third tier, you know, spots now. And so once you kind of got that established, I'd make, you know, day one of practice, I went ahead and fished a little bit more than day two and three. I caught, you know, 15 and a half pounds, I could have had 30 to 50 bites. I mean, it was just, day one was pretty easy. And so when I saw that, that allowed me on day two and day three to not have to cast as much, not put the troll motor down as much. I kind of already knew when I saw it that matter of fact, day one of the tournament where I started that area, I only put the troll motor down on one of the 15 brush piles that were in there. And I never made a cast in that whole area in practice. So,
wow.
I had proven out that pattern other areas. And so when I saw it, it led me to, as practice went on and as I was around other boats, that I wanted to kind of find those things that were not as obvious to see, man. There were some really obvious brush piles to find that I fished in the tournament days that just, the fish weren't triggered. I think they were down there with helmets on, man. Everybody that stopped was stopping at those spots. Yeah. So you had to find the one offs.
So if I get in John Soakup's boat, what's the icon I'm looking for? What's your go-to for the juice? Is it just a big trophy? What is it?
You're looking for that little fish, the little fish with the number 9 on it, the red one.
Okay.
That's mine.
That's the one,
so,
huh?
Yeah. So a pin is something. There's something interesting here. You know, a tree is a tree. I use the weedy icon for like a brushy tree or a green tree. I use a fish symbol for if I think there's a fish there. 1, I know there's a fish there. 5, which is yellow, means there's fish there, but not the sizes that I want or not as many. And then the 9 means there's at least 9 in there. They're big, you know, like that's the spot.
So. Okay, so when I get to Wright Patman, I'm climbing in this express and I just want to go through everything looking for those icons.
Yeah, we'll see how many 9s I got. I had around 20 that I knew were legit 9s at Eufaula. So I think I told you that on day one.
Yeah, you did. No, you did. Yeah, the night before you did. And I told Dudley, I was like, he says he's got 200 piles, but 20 of them got fish, man.
Yeah.
That's what you said, man.
And when I say they have fish, I mean they got a lot of fish, like a
good
lot
numbers.
Of fish. Yeah, not just 1 to 5, like a ridiculous amount of fish, which I didn't know. And it took fishing through the tournament to find out in the environment that, you know, it was still a timing thing. Just because they were there at 1 hour of the day didn't mean they were there at another hour of the day. And for some reason, the piles that had a lot of fish always on there, they were really inactive. The ones that would be naked 1 hour, and then maybe once you figured out the right hour for those fish to come through, those were the active ones. Those are ones that would actually feed. So it was kind of interesting. You can go sit on a pile that had tons of fish on it for 2 or 3 hours and not even get a bite, and every cast you're casting at them, or you just keep rotating the ones that were the right ones, and then all of a sudden you show up and they're there. And it's those schools that were actually schooled and feeding and pushing together that would fire. So.
That's unbelievable, man. I'm so grateful I got to watch it play out just like everybody else. If you guys aren't following John or the Bass Tank on YouTube, you need to be, because this guy gives up the juice. He gave up a lot on MPFL Live, actually more than I thought he would. I was like, I can't believe some of this stuff's coming up his mouth. Dudley was looking at me like, what? Like, he's giving up the goods, man. But you're an educator, man. Like, and you do it proudly. Like, you really like for people, like you said, it's catching, not fishing. And that's so cool of you, because you could keep it under your hat and win a lot more money. And even giving up the goods, you're going to be hard to keep up with, I have a feeling, in 2021. I think.
We'll see, man. You put the pressure on me.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that stuff, man.
But here's the deal: you backed it up.
Yeah.
Now it's not my fault anymore. It's all your fault, dude. It's all your fault.
Yeah. My wife, you know, I came home with a check and everything, and she says, "Well, now that I know that you can actually do it, you know," she's going to put she's putting more pressure on me too.
Yeah. The wife and kids after Wright Patman, if you don't come home with another big cardboard check, and be like, loser, get out of here.
Yeah. Well, she's getting used to some good finishes. You know, there was a crappie tour event last year, and she gave me a text and she said, "How'd you do?" And I said, "Oh, we got fourth." And she responded, "Sorry." I was like, "Sorry, like that's okay, you know. It's a top 10 out of 100 boats, you know. I'm okay with it. If you're
feeling good, leave it." She's like, "Get out of here."
Yeah, sorry. Better luck next time.
Don't come home, John. That's awesome. Well, dude, I appreciate you coming on. I won't keep you parked at a Dairy Queen for very long on your way to Rayburn, man. Thank you so much. And, dude, congratulations again. I told you last week I wanted to get you on. And, of course, we had awesome Hunter Bogman on last week, which I'm still pumped about that. Great dude. And but ladies and gentlemen, the champ, John Hookup. So, hey, is anybody calling you Hookup around Oklahoma now?
It's stuck, man. It's stuck. Yeah. Like a 5-aught, you know. I mean, it's drilled in. I already signed the weigh-in trailer. I put Hookup there, and I know who gave it to me. So I know where it came from.
Listen, we had our technical difficulties. We had things. But when that came out of my mouth, I was like, yep. Yep, that's it. Yeah, it was just one of those randoms, and Dudley was like, and then Dudley starts saying it, and then Al starts saying it on the way in stage. I'm like, "You're welcome, John. That one's gonna stick."
Well, I didn't get to watch any of that stuff, but you know, by weigh-in one, they're already saying it out loud, so I'm already hearing, you know, what's going on. And I got friends messaging me, the hookup.
Yeah, I'm like,
what is this about? Well. So, you know, dude, it's cool, man.
It's fun, really, dude. Really cool. We're gonna have a lot of fun the rest of the year on MPFL, man. It's a great group of guys. It's so much fun.
It gave me a conscience, though. I when I'm fishing, when I'm on live, you know, no one's in the boat with you, right? So it's not like you can tell, and you can't. It's not like you can tell the camera, "I get the net," and I don't ever say "got one" no more. So I say "hooked up." And so every time I'm like hooked up, and I'm like,
you're staying on brand, man. I like it.
Yeah.
That's important.
Hey, man, in regards to the NPFL, I've said this on a few interviews, and I just want to reiterate it, man. I know you can't really say it about yourself, but the work that you guys have done, the effort that you and Fat Cat and David Dudley and the NPFL, the owners group's done, I have never been to an event from the smallest jackpot all the way to the Forcewood Cup and even on the crappie side where there was just no negativity, man. It was just pure excitement for the sport. I mean, everybody was, I feel like everybody's rooting for each other, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that if we can continue that, I think there's just a place for fandom to come across and to it just reminds me of what it was like to watch bass when I was a kid. And you know what I mean? Just like the pure five fish limit and everybody kind of just excited to be in the fishing world. You know, so I'm really thankful to be a part of it. I joked around early about, you know, we were like buying into a low stock and if this thing takes off, but I mean, it has, I mean, you guys, it's hard work. It goes a long way. I mean, we can go catch a few fish, but it's the production side of things that's really going to make this thing take off.
Well, man, it's there's going to be a lot of people know John Hookup Soak Up by the end of the year. And hopefully a few more know Low Budget Live and Luke Duncan because of it too, man. It was so much fun of you falling. I echo what you said. I'll take me out of it. I mean, we had a great time, man. We're fortunate to get asked to be a part of it, but the ownership group, dude, my hat's off to those dudes and how much time, energy, and effort they put into it. And you know, like I know, working on a skeleton crew, right? I mean, there's not 40 You're people right. around putting this big You're production right. together. It's just not. And to pull it off like they did, man, and like you said, no negativity, just a lot of good vibes, and I can't wait for Texas, man. Are you just going to stay down there? Are you going to come back home?
Come on, man. I got 4 weeks. I may my tournament ends Saturday. I may drive by and drop in right Patman before cutoff. I think cutoff's Monday. So Sunday is like the last day and graph around for a day. Lake's up real high right now. So I don't know if that's going to be consistent or not. So if it does stay up, I think it's going to be a different kind of tournament than the first, you know, the first event. So.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like it could be interesting.
I hear rumors that there are gigantoids.
That's what I hear too. Like
that 30 pounds is pretty common. So
that's what I hear.
That should make for, you know, some fun. It's probably going to be some major sacks and then a pretty good drop off. I mean, it's a smaller lake. We'll see what happens, but you know, a crowded lake usually ends up making it more difficult, but some big fish and some, you know, so for me, just, I'll put it out there. I'm looking for just five fish a day. That's all I want. I want to weigh a five. I want five fish every day. And that's my goal.
All right. I'd say if you do that out there, there'll be big ones from what I'm hearing about that lake, dude. So looking forward to it. The AOI leader, you're unofficial, you know, hey, unofficially
large,
official.
Largest rookie of the year race leader.
That's right. I have not thought about that. Oh my God. I'm stealing
that rookie of the year.
I'm stealing that. Are you a bunch of damn rookies? John, I appreciate you, dude. Good luck at Sam Rayburn. Keep the streak rolling, and I'll see you at Wright Patman, brother.
All right. Thank you, man.
See you, man. John Soakup. Hope y'all enjoyed that as much as I did. I think a lot of John, man. I've gotten to know him over the last few months, and just a great guy, great family man, and even better angler. And I can't wait to call it the game, as Dudley says, the rest of the year for John and the rest of the guys in the NPFL. So make sure you're tuning in to that. I want to thank each and every one of you for watching this silliness, listening to this silliness every single week. I appreciate you more than words. It's fun, man. It's fun. I said it last week. Got a little choked up, got a little emotional. It's okay. I was riding a wave. We do that from time to time at the LBL Bar and Grill. But I just appreciate the fact that I get to do this in some capacity for a living. And it's awesome. Being in this industry, fishermen are good people.
very good people, and I'm proud to know you lowlifers, even if I don't know each and every one of you. Hopefully I'll get to meet some of you, some more, at the Bassmaster Classic this year, planning some things for Tejas. Hopefully we can put another LBO live together down there, have a good time, me, stupid Darian, Big C, maybe Shannon Wheeler on the fiddle. It's going to be a good time, good time. But thank y'all each and every week for tuning in. I appreciate you. I'm going to take you out with a little Biloxi Blues, as always, because that's what we do here at LBL Not So Live. Thank y'all. Make sure to hug your mama and hug your daddy. Here's Biloxi Blues, and I will see y'all next time.
Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.